The Senate please come to order. Will members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 19 members present.
Thank you. Would please stand for the invocation by Chaplain Reverend Bobby Lewis, all the way from New York City, the New Light Baptist Church. Bobby.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you. Senator Stevens, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 36th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Hoffman.
Good morning, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman, and a belated happy birthday to you. introduction of guests. Senator Bishop.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce some constituents of mine. I think they're all in the Grow Gallery, and if they would stand as I call their name, please. Dave Matheny, Delta Junction. Jason Avery, Fairbanks. John Bennett, Fairbanks. And Steve McCombs, Delta. Help me welcome them to Juneau.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to introduce one of my constituents. He's a guest page there, Jarrett Tormey, and he's from Palmer. He's 16, 10th grade, been in 4-H for 7 years, raising sheep for market. He's interested in government and civic duty, and he enjoys public speaking. He is hoping that we might be instructive and a good example for him. Please help me welcome to the chambers.
Senator Kelly.
Brief at ease, Mr. President.
Yeah, brief at ease. Senator, we'll come back to order. Senator Kelly. Yeah, under introduction of guests.
in the Ziegler Gallery, a constituent of mine, longtime Fairbanksan, Catherine Persinger. She's the CFO of the Fairbanks Resource Agency. She and her husband, Greg, own three Cold Stone Creameries in Wasilla, Eagle River, and Fairbanks. So she's active in some of your districts. She sits on multiple boards, including the treasurer of the Fairbanks Montessori School. And I would hope that you would all give her a warm welcome. Thank you. Further introductions, Mr. President. I'm not sure if this person is here. Sean Alexander? My list is flawed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Kelly. Senator Fairclough?
Thank you, Mr. President. We have quite a few people waiting in the hall to come in, so there might be a few more. When I entered the gallery, there were about 20 people in line to change out the gallery. So if someone's not here, just for a note. Mr. President, if I could ask you, as well as members of the body, to turn their attention to the Grow Gallery, and if I could have Cassandra Lynch and Don Burrell stand. Mr. President, it's my privilege and honor to be here and to introduce to you two of East Anchorage's finest. They are both here with ASEA, both of East Anchorage. Cassandra also works at the Pioneer Home, and she's here to learn politically what happens around and learn about our process. Don, you might recognize as a former committee aide, former legislative aide. He's also the executive director of Children's Meal Mission. If you could join me in welcoming to our chambers. Thank you.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. President. With me today, I've got several guests from the southernmost community of Ketchikan. I'd like to have them stand when I introduce them, please. Dr. David Johnson, he's a physician at the Ketchikan, or in Ketchikan since 1970. That's about the last time I had a physical, I think, too, Mr. President. And Bob Severson, Ketchikan City Council, SEPA board member and deckhand for me this summer from time to time. Dick Coos, city council member, and he worked for me here in the legislature, and a lot of people recognize Dick from being around the Capitol every year. Penny Peterson's executive director of the Ketchikan Medical Center Foundation. And then Jim Van Horn, Ketchikan Borough Assembly member, 49 years, Alaskan resident, retired from the U.S. Coast Guard. He must have wrote this. Retired from the U.S. Coast Guard 2006-2008, was chief of staff for former Representative Jim Elkins, worked for Senator Stedman in the Ketchikan office, active in the American Legion, and is a former state commander and former AML director. And then there's Patty Mackey, president and CEO of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau, volunteer and president of the board of directors, the Ketchikan Medical Center Foundation. I'd like the Senate to give them all a warm welcome.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Mr. President. Behind me in the Grow Gallery, I want to welcome all of the green-vested Alaska State Employee Association members that are here for their annual meeting. It's an honor to see them. And to welcome, in particular, one of my constituents, Mr. Lawrence Camp, who's here from my district. He's with the Department of Environmental Conservation. Please help me welcome him to the Senate today.
Senator Stedman.
Brief at ease.
Yeah, brief at ease. Senate will come back to order. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to go ahead and introduce David Garcia from Ketchikan. He's also with the employee group sitting right behind us.
Under introduction of guest, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to call your attention to the Ziegler Gallery behind me. We have some visitors from the Alaska Primary Care Association from a place called Soldotna, Alaska. I'd like to welcome Monica Adams, Mr. Joe Canova, Ms. Rami Hasio, and Ellen Edlam. And they are great supporters of health care in our community, and I'd like you to please welcome them to Juneau.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to take this opportunity, unbeknownst to my staffer, Doug Letch, who is here. Doug is retiring at the end of this session. He's been with me for 13 years. He's been an invaluable part of our staff. And I don't think that people should be, staff should be retiring before senators, but that's the way it is. So please help me recognize Doug Letch.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two guests here. And the first is Cynthia Washington. She's in the Groves Gallery. She is an eligibility tech for the Department of Health and Social Services, deals a lot with Denali Kid Care. And she's down here with the Alaska State Employees Association. And I also have a guest page, Mr. President. Her name is Haley Brannon. I had an opportunity to meet with her yesterday. She's a brilliant young woman, bright future in our state. She's a swimmer, loves to read, and she's very active in the 4-H Youth and Governance Program. So if you please help me welcome my guest. Thank you, Mr. President.
That's Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the gallery right behind me, we have some of the Alaska State Employees Association people with me. So I'll ask if they would stand up. We have Susanna Babinski, Bill Hunt, I think Sean Staker, Michael, I think it's Bradley, and if I messed it up, sorry, Fred Rapp, and Beth Siegel. Would you please welcome these employees to our chambers, please? From, yes. I have a constituent here, actually I have two sitting in that same gallery, and if they would stand when I read their names, from North Pole, we have Babes Hudson. I grew up in Nenana with her, and she has made sure that I pay attention to all the things PTA, and she's in the PTA in the North Pole and Fairbanks area, and she has with her Jonathan Frisky, who's also a senior at North Pole. He's a winner of a high school energy essay contest. And so he will be actually showing that off in one of the committees today. Would you please welcome them to this chamber? And Mr. President, also we have some guest pages that are part of the 4-H Youth and Governance, and they're on the floor here with us, helping us manage this session today. So Casey McMillan is 8 years old. Casey, where are you at? Over here. And she's in eighth grade at Tanana Middle School. She has been a 4-H'er for 3 years. She enjoys helping out in her community and learning new things. Had an excellent visit with these folks. Calder Tozer, where's Calder at? Over here. Calder Tozer is a homeschooler. He's in ninth grade, raises rabbits, and is involved in community service projects. And he's been involved with 4-H for 4 years. And Leslie McEwen, I think, is back here. A homeschooled freshman from North Pole. This is our fifth year coming down here, Mr. President, and she enjoys spending time in the great outdoors. With them is some of the adult advisors, and I think in the gallery behind me is Don Tozer, lives in North Pole with a husband, Dawson, five children, Kalani, Cord, Calder, Teague, and Cadence. They're lifelong Alaskans. I grew up with her dad, so excellent. And then Andrea McEwen, I'm not too sure, oh, there's Andrea. Lives in North Pole and is a wife and a homeschooling mother of three children. She's a lifelong Alaskan, enjoys fishing, hunting like many of us, and camping with her family. Would you please welcome all these 4-H people to our chamber, please?
Yes, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Ziegler Gallery, I have a constituent I just met today, but her husband used to play Little League ball with my kids, and her sisters-in-law used to babysit for me. So I'm very happy to meet Autumn Vea. She is here also with ASEA. She's part of the Legislative Leadership Education Conference, and she's a program manager for our Division of Behavioral Health. So I ask the body to please help me welcome Autumn Vea to the chamber.
We're going to take a brief at ease here. There's a second echelon of guests here today in the gallery, and we can just make sure we capture who they are for introductions. So brief at ease. Please, the Senate will please come back to order. Yeah, and a reminder to members, I mean, there are a number of people that are coming and going in the gallery. We will be respectful for that. And if we need additional eddies so we can capture and introduce Alaskans, that will be our privilege to do that. So at this point in time, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning to you. I have two constituents I want to introduce. They're over there in the Grove Gallery. If they'd both stand up, Marianne Ganasius is here, and so is Amita White. Marianne is an admin assistant 3 to the former senator and now ASEA business manager Jim Duncan. Amita is with the Central Judicial Panel is what it is from Anchorage. They're both constituents of mine. I'm happy to see them here. Please help me welcome them.
Senator Machicki, under introduction of guests.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. Over in the Grow Gallery, I want to introduce from beautiful downtown Kisilov, Alaska, Mr. Anthony Lopez, who's a juvenile justice officer. And Mr. President, my family is here today. I want to introduce my lovely wife, Erin, and our children, Madeline, Sophie, and Lucy. You met my father-in-law yesterday, Dr. Roger Pearson, and you commented on that he must be a patient man, and he is. With that, I'd like to introduce my mother-in-law, Ms. Marlene Pearson. So if you can please welcome them all to dinner.
Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three constituents from District N here, all three from ASEA. I'll start here in the Grow Gallery and have Val Kenny stand up. Val is actually the president of ASEA, Local 52. She works for the Department of Behavioral Health. She's a project assistant in Medicaid. Over in the Ziegler Gallery, Claudia Feltman was just standing. I'll have her stand up again. Also a resident of District N on the Kenai, Mr. President. She is the Cook Inlet Chapter President for Kenai residents. She's works for the Public Defender Agency. And last of all, over in the Ziegler Gallery is Mr. Bruce Dougherty. He is a retired Lieutenant Governor from the Alaska Air National Guard, Mr. President. He has spent over 20 years in public service. He currently works for Health and Social Services as a health facility supervisor, but during his military service in the Air National Guard, he served in Desert Storm and the Iraq War in those combat theaters transporting wounded soldiers. Please join me in welcoming these three constituents.
Stedman, under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. President. Behind me today with the ASEA group as a steward, Joy Erickson, if she can stand, please. She's from Ketchikan. And then next up is Leslie Rice, Fish and Game Tech from Wrangell. She's over there. It's a trick question. They got it in a different gallery, but she's over there in Ziegler. And then Glenn Howard. He's a CNA at the Pioneers Home in Sitka, taking care of my mother-in-law and other folks, along with Kelly Ferguson. She's a nurse, and says she's a PEL at the Local 52 Shop Stewart, the Sitka Pioneers Home, for 19 years, and she's also involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters. And then last but not least, the president of ASEA, the Sitka chapter, and 15-year employee of the Parks and Recs of Sitka, Sean McLeod. And as you can see from Sean, as I think I might have mentioned before, when I built extra bunk in my cabin, I reinforced it in length and girth, so when Sean stops by, he fits. To that, I'd like to give him a warm welcome.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I have a constituent in the Ziegler Gallery. It's Paul Kronick. Stand up, Paul. Paul is the education coordinator of the Department of Corrections and the host for three of my good friends there. Please give us a warm welcome.
Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two guests today, and one in the Grow Gallery, one in the Ziegler Gallery. If I can have Chris Pace stand, he's for the here for the annual fly-in, actually drove in. He's from Juneau, and Chris is with the Alaska State Employees Association and an employee of the Department of Environmental Conservation. I welcome him. And also Robin Parr, a new constituent of mine from Petersburg. Robin is here with ASEA as well, and she works for Fish and Game. Please join me in welcoming them.
Senator Hoffman.
Good morning, Mr. President. It gives me a great privilege to introduce two constituents of mine from different ends of my district. The first one from my hometown, a probation officer in the Grow Gallery, Leela Sheffield, an SAA employee. And the second one from my Fairbanks division of my Senate district. He's a business agent for ASEA in Fairbanks. Give a warm welcome to William Walters.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've just received word that I have two visitors here with the Civic Action Program from ConocoPhillips, and I'm going to guess they're in the Ziegler Gallery, but wherever they're sitting, I hope the body will help me welcome Mark Hill and Angela Schwartfeger, and I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that right. Thank you.
Under introduction of guests, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a constituent from Senate District I in Anchorage with us today in the Grow Gallery. Please give a warm welcome to Ryan Kopiatz. Ryan? Thank you.
Senator Dyson, under introduction of guests.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce another constituent of mine, Ken Kramer. Ken's a chief steward for ASEA, and please help me welcome.
Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I'd just like to say that we couldn't do what we do without our staff, and we certainly couldn't do what we do and invest what we do in the people of Alaska without solid public employees. And so the Association of State Employees is down here today in full force. We see them in green jackets, and they're going in and out through the doorways right now trying to find seats. We don't usually have limited entry inside of our gallery, but I have five introductions, four of which are ASEA employees, members. If I could have Don Bunnick stand, Pamela Harper, Linda Gerber, and Kelly Haas. In the Ziegler Gallery is Kelly. Kelly is a 15-year employee working on Alaska in the Alaska's Medicaid program. She works in the Department of Health and Social Services and Behavioral Health. Over in the Grow Gallery, Linda Gerber works for the Department of Corrections as a probation officer. She's a 25-year state employee. In the Grow Gallery again, Pamela Harbor is on the ASEA's executive board. She's the director for my district, and she works in the Department of Administration and Data Processing. Finally, in the Grow Gallery, Dawn Bundick is an investigator with 30 years of state service. She's also the ACEA Anchorage Chapter President. She's the state junior vice president for the Ladies Auxiliary to the VFW, and she works with the Alaska Disabled Veterans Sports Program as a board member. Please join me in welcoming those state employees. Mr. President.
Senator Fairclough.
I have one more. I am so pleased East Anchorage hasn't been as well represented on any other day of the Senate, so I beg your indulgence. Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to have met earlier this morning with Ken Jones. He's in the Grow Gallery, if he could stand. Mr. President, he is a longtime Alaska, coming to the state in 1957. All of his children are through college. He is here with the Civil Action Committee for ConocoPhillips. He's a retiree who's worked on the North Slope in charge of operations and drilling. And Mr. President, he is the proud great-grandfather with another grandchild on the way, and wants to make sure that Alaska does right for all of its people. Please help me in welcoming him to Juneau.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have another ConocoPhillips employee here with the Civic Action Program, and I asked the body to help me welcome Logan Apple from the Grow Gallery.
Under introduction, guest Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my joy to go ahead and introduce somebody from the Golden Sands of Nome, somebody I've known for 30 years, and who's here, and that is Mo Kazuna. Would you please stand over here? She's the one of the few people that I've known from that's been out to King Island, and her husband is originally from there. And but don't let the youthful face fool you. She's got children and grandchildren, and that's Mo Kazuna. Please help me welcome her.
Senator McGuire.
So much, and good morning again, Mr. Stevens. Good morning again, Mr. President. I'm so sorry. I am so honored to introduce in the Grow Gallery a constituent. You'll understand this. Her last name is Stevens, Christy Stevens. This is her first time to Juneau, and she is so honored to be here. She's an admin assistant for ASEA, and she is a proud mother of two beautiful kids. It's her first time ever, so please help me welcome her here to Juneau. And also behind me here in the Grow Gallery, I am honored to introduce a member of the Civic Action Program with ConocoPhillips, Jacob, I'm going to do my best on this, Ryman Schneider. If you could please help me welcome him to the...
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I knew if I waited long enough, I would have some constituents. So, and fortunately, I do. I have several here. They're with the CAP Civic Action Program at ConocoPhillips. They're the ones that are working hard to put the oil in the pipeline for us. So if they would stand when I call their names, Paula Willman. I believe they're all in the Grow Gallery here behind me. And Casey Willman, Luke Kissadon. Sorry about that last name there. And then I believe over in the other gallery we have Dora Sora, as well as John Daly. If you would please help me welcome these constituents to the Capitol.
Senator Geisel, under introduction of guests.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have two more District N constituents here. First is Mike Robbins. If you would stand, he is the ASEA. Over in the Ziegler Gallery, ASEA business agent. So welcome. And in, I'm not sure which gallery, but Bob Albright with CAP is here, again over in the Ziegler Gallery, also a resident of District N. Please join me in welcoming them.
Senator Bishop, under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. President. I as well have several more constituents from Senate District C. John Bennett. Is John here? John is area-wide steward. He's from Fairbanks, retired laborer, 942, fished in Bristol Bay for 8 years, and he's a 23-year state employee as a geologist and a hydrologist. So welcome, John. And I would also like to call out Mike Kraft. Mike's helping us with our renewable energy in the state. Mike has a wind farm in Delta Junction. He also lives in Fairbanks, and I think he moonlights as a sand and gravel operator, too. Welcome, Mike.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I previously mentioned some names that could not get into the chamber, so I think in the Grow Gallery right behind me is Beth Siegel. In the gallery, the Ziegler Gallery, and she is in District A, shop steward here with ACA Local 52, and Fred Rapp is in the same gallery right next to her. He's ASEA steward, and please welcome them to the chambers. Thank you for coming.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have another constituent to introduce as well. Sherry Roberts is here. Sherry would stand up. She's with the CAP program, the ConocoPhillips Civic Action Program. It's a pleasure to see her here in the gallery. Please help me make her feel welcome.
Under introduction of guests, I don't know that we've kept record, but it may be close to a record in the number of guests, but that's, we're proud to be able to do that. Messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Communications?
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees?
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill No. 16, Board of Architects, Engineers, Surveyors, New Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Dunleavy, Chair, Senator Stedman, Ellis, Michiki, signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill No. 24, Marine Transportation Advisory Board, New Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Egan, Chair, Senators Bishop, Dyson, Fairclough, signing no recommendation, Senator French. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill No. 38, Extend State Medical Board, New Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Dunleavy, Chair, Senators Ellis, Stedman, Michiki, signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Education Committee considered Senate Bill No. 40, Appropriation University Engineering Buildings, signing due pass, Senator Stevens, Chair, Senator Gardner, signing amend, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Huggins. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Reports of special committees?
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction today.
Introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill No. 60 by Senator Stedman, an act relating to sea otter population management.
Get to resources, judiciary, and finance.
Senate Bill No. 61 by Senator Coghill, an act relating to the board, loans, records, and lobbying contracts of the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the Senate bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill No. 31 by Senator Stevens, an act naming the runway at the state-owned airport in Akiak, the Jim Andy and Robin Starrett Memorial Runway. The Transportation Committee considered the bill. New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Egan, Chair, Senators Fairclough, Dyson, French, Bishop. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 31 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate Bill No. 31, an act naming the runway at the state-owned airport in Akiak, the Jim Andy and Robin Starrett Memorial Runway.
So Senate Bill 81 in third reading, final passage, naming the Akiak runway. Is there debate? Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I don't think this needs much debate. I do want to mention that the name is Akiak. Akiak. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Is there further debate?
Question.
The question is being called. Shall Senate Bill 31 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So Senate Bill 31 has passed 20-0.
Senate Joint Resolution No. 6 by Senator Dyson, urging the United States Congress not to relinquish to the office of the President of the United States the legislative duty to safeguard our most fundamental right, and urging the President of the United States to refrain from any further efforts to restrict ownership of firearms. The Judiciary Committee considered the resolution. New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Coghill, Chair, Senators Willikowski, Dyson. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution No. 6 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate Joint Resolution No. 6, urging the United States Congress not to relinquish to the office of the President of the United States the legislative duty to safeguard our most fundamental right, and urging the President of the United States to refrain from any further efforts to restrict ownership of firearms.
Is there a debate on Senate Joint Resolution No. 6? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to take this opportunity to make a few remarks that hopefully will inform some of you. I'm sure you're all familiar with the debates that have swirled around the Second Amendment for off and on for the last 50 years. Some of those have been settled by the courts. In the famous case Heller versus D.C., the court, Supreme Court, ruled that there is a fundamental right to own firearms, and it is not linked to a state militia. And the McDonald versus Chicago, that court held there that there is an individual right to possess a firearm for self-protection. These decisions, in my view and some scholars, really set aside the discussion about whether or not it's a constitutional right. Down through history, virtually every tyrant and would-be tyrant has made moves to disarm the population that he wants to rule. And every liberation movement has struggled to have the means to resist the armies and the agents of terror that from the tyrants. Good example of this is in the late 1930s, as Japan expanded what it called their sphere of influence and tried to secure their own natural or supplies, particularly of energy, the Roosevelt administration imposed largely what was an embargo there, and the Japanese considered attacking America. And when they considered an invasion of the West Coast, Yamamoto, the architect of the Pearl Harbor bombing, had been to school, I think, at Harvard. Perhaps some of you know if he was at your alma mater. And he cautioned the government of Japan to don't invade the U.S. He said, these are an armed people who are, many of them, excellent marksmen, and they are fiercely independent and will resist. And of course, they didn't invade, and I'm not sure Yamamoto's arguments carried the day, but they indeed made a surgical strike at Pearl Harbor. In England, in the dark days of last part of 1939 and up through the fall of 1940, what we commend or remember as the Battle of Britain, and according to some historians, that hung in the balance, and 2 or 3 weeks made the difference. But tens of thousands of Americans sent arms to England so that the citizens would be able to defend themselves if indeed they had to fight in the streets, as Churchill prophesied they might. And many of those were weapons that many of us would think of as very fine collector items. The end of the war, Great Britain confiscated all those weapons and destroyed them. And the irony does not escape most of us. In Norway, before World War II, they had registered all the weapons. When they were invaded and conquered by the Nazis, the citizens did not know whether or not their new conquerors had access to those records. So when the Nazi government demanded everybody turn in their weapons, they had reason to be very concerned, because if they disobeyed and the government had the records, they were subject to the worst of punishments. And all during the war, Great Britain and later on U.S. Struggled to smuggle weapons into Norway, which had a very effective underground. Similarly too in France, although the southern France, many of the people there were not conquered, and I think until 1943, and the northern France had secreted lots of their weapons to the south, as well as, you know, much of the great artwork that was in the museums. The two outstanding examples to the contrary in modern European governments. It's been quite a while since I was in Switzerland buying equipment for the oil industry, but when I was there, every adult male that was not disqualified for physical or legal reasons was a part of the National Guard, and they kept their weapons at home with a large store of ammunition. I think you would know, Mr. President, but I think those were Gauley automatic weapons. And as you would guess,
the crime rate in Switzerland, breaking and entering and so on, is almost zero. And at that time, every year, every male in the National Guard had to qualify at the marksman's range. And if you didn't shoot good, your taxes went up. Remember, this is the nation that produced William Tell. And the same is true, has been true for Israel. All of you, I'm sure, have read about when the decree came down establishing a nation. I think in 1948, they were invaded from several sides and really struggled. And theirs was a desperate struggle to find weapons that they could resist the invaders, or what they considered to be invaders. Kind of the end of the history lesson. But I think it illustrates some of the reasons why an armed population is important on several grounds. It's naive to think that the police are going to be our protection. Anybody that has much experience with law enforcement realize at the best of circumstance, the police are 5 minutes away and often more like 20. And time is of the essence when you're being attacked. To me, it's not like unlike where I have a wilderness cabin, 5 mile hike in very highly populated bear country. The problem with barren ground grizzly or brown bears, you don't know you got a problem until they're very close, 20 yards or less, and you're trying to figure out, is he going to charge? And as bears have nearsighted, they're going on what they can smell and or their perceived danger to themselves or their cubs. And but once you know the bear is going to charge, then you have literally seconds to deal with the threat. I've been around some great athletes. I've never seen anything as quick as a bear. And it's similarly when you're being attacked. Calling 911 or blowing a whistle or saying time out seldom works. And if you're relying on the police, you're going to be waiting quite a while. Police are good at apprehending criminals. They're not good at protecting us. This federal administration, I think reacting into a great tragedy, has issued 23 presidential orders, as they were first called, for a couple of weeks, and then perhaps later actions. And the only difference is whether it's recorded in the Federal Registry. And I think that those are an overreaction, and many of them are quite impractical. And in my view, and many of us, it impinges on a fundamental constitutional right. And as was said eloquently on the floor yesterday, we can't single out any one of the Bill of Rights. And I'm, as the previous speaker yesterday was, I'm very much a favor of the First Amendment as well as the Second. I encourage your positive vote on this. It is one way that the citizens here in our state have a way, speaking through us, to address what we consider ill-timed and ill-advised adventures by our federal executive branch. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there additional debate? Seeing none.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Yes. Brief at ease.
Just a couple words of debate.
Yes. Yeah, we remain in order.
Very
yes.
Good. Thanks, Mr. President. I normally approach most resolutions with what I would call a laissez-faire approach, which means you look for a way to get the yes. And I did that with this resolution and read it carefully. And while I was able to get past what I would call some of the debatable propositions it makes about U.S. history, and I look forward to discussing those with the bill sponsor at some time over maybe over a adult beverage. I sort of fetched up, if you will, on the reference, the specific reference in the resolution to criminal background checks as being somehow wrong. And so that's when I sort of decided I couldn't vote for the resolution if I was going to be put in a position of saying that I think criminal background checks are bad. I think it's a good idea. I think most Americans think it's a good idea. I would point out that not so long ago, Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association thought they were a good idea, testifying. He testified not too long ago in front of Congress saying, we think it's reasonable to provide mandatory instant criminal background checks for every sale at every gun show, no loopholes, anywhere.
Senator French, are you reading?
I was reading, Mr. President.
Yes.
And I meant to ask permission. I thought I could get through with it. But,
yeah, without objection.
I'll go back and ask for permission. And thank you, Mr. President. Thanks for the reminder. And so it just struck me that I couldn't really sort of vote for the resolution with a specific reference to criminal background checks. And since I wasn't on a committee to work on it and didn't come with an amendment, I'll just be satisfied with my no vote today and wanted to explain to you and the others why I was doing so. Thank you.
Is there additional debates? It's Senator Dyson, wrap up.
Yeah, thank you. To answer the previous speaker, that indeed I think is line 4 on page 2, and it says the president is calling lawmakers to require anyone trying to buy a gun to undergo criminal background checks as a prerequisite. In our state, as you know, Mr. President, the gun shows that you and I go to, there is a table there where the transfer of firearms, people are doing the criminal background checks. And so it's not everywhere that indeed the what we're getting at here is just the private transfer between individuals, and I feel it's inappropriate.
Is there additional debate? Yeah, the question has been called. Senate Joint Resolution Number 6 is in third reading, final passage. It's the opposition oppose executive orders on gun control. So the question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 6 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will tally the vote.
19 yeas, 1 nay.
And so Senate Joint Resolution Number 6 has passed the Senate 19 to 1.
Citations honoring Delta Elementary School 2012 National Title I Distinguished School, honoring Mary Jane Fate. In memoriam, Hazel Rosendahl.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered.
That completes the business on today's calendar.
Under unfinished business, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call in the Senate on February 22nd, a.m. plain time through Sunday, February 24th, p.m. plain time for personal state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. President, I also ask and move and asking unanimous consent to be excused from call to the Senate from 2:22 afternoon plain time to 2:24 evening plain time for state and personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Additional unfinished business? Announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to remind the folks, when we adjourn, we'll adjourn to 10:45 on the 21st, which will be the day we convene for a annual address and joint session by the Senator, the Senior Senator Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Senator Michikee.
Oh, just a quick reminder, honored to sponsor the Alaska Marine Conservation Council. They'll be making a presentation on Chinook bycatch, room 106 at noon. And my understanding is that fresh fish will be served.
Thank you, Senator Michikee. Are there additional announcements? Seeing none, special orders? Seeing none. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 10:45 a.m. the 21st of February.
And the Senate will stand adjourned of 10:45 the 21st of February.